Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. One of the common questions I get asked is IVF painful? Pain covers a lot of aspects of the IVF journey. There's certainly physical pain, but probably more importantly is the emotional pain. We'll deal with that first. Beginning the IVF journey is a big decision. It's driven by that incredible desire to have a baby. It's driven by many, many months, sometimes years, of trying to get pregnant and being unsuccessful. Couples are already aware of the pain that goes with the onset of another period in a menstrual cycle that was supposed to be conception. That pain is exaggerated in an IVF cycle if it's not successful. We talk about the roller coaster of IVF. That roller coaster is about the anxiety and stress, which can end up giving severe emotional pain. No matter what the specialist says, a couple entering an IVF journey will believe it's going to work for them. I can tell patients that success rate is 40% if you're under 35, but that means that 60% of couples won't be pregnant at the end of that month. But everybody thinks they'll be in the 40%. I can even tell a 44-year-old that they only have a 1% chance of conceiving in that cycle and a 99% chance it will be a waste of their time and effort. But they will believe they will have the odds of 1 in 100 in their favour. So everybody heads into an IVF cycle believing it's going to work. They commence treatment. They have injections. Ultrasound and blood tests show that eggs are forming, that by day 10 or 11 of injections, they're ready for the eggs to be collected, which is all very positive. The eggs can be collected. The eggs will fertilize in about 60% of cases. 60% of eggs will fertilize. They will form a baby, at least in the eyes of those receiving the treatment. But we know that fertilization is only the first step in the development of the embryo, and that by day 5, only 10 to 20% of the original eggs will actually form a blastocyst, a good embryo. But even then, if an embryo is available for transfer, couples will believe, and they should believe, that they will be successful. They're at the high, they're at the top of the roller coaster. Then there's the pain, the emotional pain of waiting, not knowing whether you're pregnant or not. Then the pregnancy test. A fortnight after egg collection, the pregnancy test will be positive in that 40% of the under 35s, but will be negative for the other 60%. And the pain that that imparts on the couple, not only the female, but also the male, is immense. From huge optimism to failure is hard to take. That emotional pain can be enough for many patients to stop treatment. Its impact on people's lives is so extreme that they won't want to go on for further IVF. All clinics in Australia are obliged to have counselling services available for patients to deal with this pain. Many patients use it, but many are so upset that they want to move away from the clinic, but I urge them to find counselling elsewhere to help them through the pain. The second pain of IVF, and probably the one that patients are really asking about, is the physical pain. So, what are the aspects of this physical pain? The first is fairly obvious. To stimulate multiple follicles to produce multiple eggs, currently injections are essential. Injections of FSH hormone, usually on a daily basis, can be painful. Over the years, we've minimized this by the companies developing pens with tiny needles and the ability to administer drugs into the fat rather than into the muscle, subcutaneous rather than intramuscular. That has certainly reduced the pain. But for some women, those injections can be a major problem, probably more around needle phobia than in relation to the actual physical pain. As the stimulation of the follicles occur, the ovaries do enlarge, and that can cause discomfort. It's rare that it causes pain. Women report a feeling of bloating, of swelling in the tummy as the ovaries enlarge. It is very rare to have acute pain in that situation. The next time there is likely to be pain is at egg collection. Many clinics do egg collection under mild sedation with the patient fully aware of what's going on in terms of the transvaginal ultrasound, guiding a needle into each of the follicles through the vaginal wall. The innervation of the ovary is the same as for a testicle, and I doubt you would find very many men who would be comfortable having a needle inserted into their testicle without significant pain relief. Certainly, a study I did now many years ago when I asked women who'd been through unsuccessful IVF under sedation and then subsequently had a further cycle under general anaesthetic, 98% of them said they would prefer general anaesthetic because of the pain. With a general anaesthetic, obviously, there won't be any pain felt at the time. Most patients in the first hours after egg collection do experience some discomfort and rarely pain. In the first 24 hours, some pain is quite common. This pain is related to the fact that when we push the needle into the ovary, we are likely to be causing some slight bleeding. That blood will be there for the next 24 to 48 hours. And that blood causes irritation of the peritoneum, the lining of the abdomen. And that irritation causes pain. It is rare this needs more than a Panadol. One situation where the pain can gradually get worse over the days following egg collection is ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, where the ovaries get larger, fluid collects in the abdominal cavity, discomfort and pain can follow. Fortunately, the incidence of ovarian hyperstimulation has fallen dramatically as we've been able to use a different regime in triggering egg maturation. However, it still occurs. these patients may need hospitalisation and much higher levels of pain relief. Another rare cause of pain after the egg collection is when the ovary twists on its stalk, on its pedicle, because of the largeness of the ovary with the follicles. That twisting can restrict the blood supply, and that can cause severe pain. That is readily corrected via a small laparoscopic procedure. Embryo transfer is another time, very rarely, when pain can occur. Obviously, most women, by the time they have an embryo transfer, will have experienced a pap smear. And certainly there's discomfort for many patients with the speculum being inserted, the instrument that allows us to visualize the cervix. For an embryo transfer, the use of the speculum is obviously required, and for some women that can be very uncomfortable. Actually passing the tube carrying the embryo into the uterus is rarely painful. Some women have a very sensitive neck of the womb, and passing a tube through there can occasionally produce a sharp, short-lived pain. Evidence suggests this will make no difference to the chances of success for the embryo that is transferred, but certainly some women do recall their embryo transfer as being painful. The period that occurs if IVF has been unsuccessful can be heavier than normal. This is because the hormones that were used to stimulate the growth of the follicles has also increased the estrogen levels, which in turn results in a thicker lining of the womb. That shedding of that thick lining of the womb for women who do suffer period pain will be exaggerated. So this sounds all very gloomy, that I'm making it sound like pain is a common accompaniment of IVF. There are certain times for certain women when it can be physically painful. The vast majority, however, do not suffer more than a mild discomfort. And for those who do experience pain, mild analgesia resolves the situation in most cases. And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey, all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.